Anyone out there have a problem? Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, you're not alone.
Amen. You're not alone. Is anyone out there? Okay, let me finish the sentence, please. Anyone out there have a problem? Let me finish the sentence. Let me finish the sentence. Moving into new things. Even though you know it's going to be so much better. You know it's going to be so good. But you still have hesitations and resistance and like, I don't know about this. I'm going to use Pastor Tosh, a story about Pastor Tosh here this morning. In case you don't know this about her, she hates, and I mean hates, that is the right word, getting a new cell phone. Is she in good company? Does she have... You're with your people. I mean, normally, yeah, exactly. I know. Anyway, I'll get to that. Yeah. Normally, we get new phones at the same time. We're on the same plan, so we go in together and we get new phones, and it's a family thing. But the last time we needed new phones, I finally said, I gotta go get a new phone. Like, she was so resistant and hesitant to go get this new phone. I couldn't handle my phone and its outdatedness any longer, and I said, I'm going to Verizon today. Like, this is the end of it. She held on to her phone for a few more months, maybe a year. And we were already at least a couple years overdue for new phones. Her phone wasn't functioning properly. I know you all know this. I'm speaking to people who understand me. The battery lasted fully charged for maybe a couple hours, right? Everybody, everything was slow, all her apps, nothing was coming up. And I was like, please, please, please go get a new phone. I think her old phone actually laughed out loud when the update got pushed out because it was like, you can update this bad boy all you want, but it is going to do no good at all. She needed a new phone. Now, there are two main reasons for her lack of enthusiasm of getting a new phone, and they pretty much have equal disdain. One, if you know Pastor Tosh, it's all about the spreadsheet and the cost of it. And I get it. I mean, these phones are crazy expensive. In fact, if I ask my person, how much does this phone cost? They just tell me how much it is added onto my plan. They don't even tell me the dollar amount, right? Does anybody not like that process other than me? I'm like, no, tell me how much the phone is. Well, it's just another. No, I want to know the cost of the phone, you know. Anyway, well, with this discount and that discount, what? Oh, gibberish. Anyway, I don't like this process either. So I'm with her on this. I get it. It's expensive. It's a weird system. No one, I don't think, is thrilled to skip into the store and get a new phone, right? But the second thing is, equal value, is the new phone is new. And with the new phone, she doesn't know exactly where everything is. It's the whole setup saga, right? Everybody understand that? Getting things organized back the way you want them to get organized. There's passwords you forgot about because you didn't log in for, I don't know, 10 years ago since your last phone, right? And so you have to reset passwords to get into things that were just automatic with the thumbprint or whatever. And so she says, her words, quote, Pastor Tosh, it's a time suck, Jamie. That's what you said. It's wasted time. She doesn't want to waste time doing stupid stuff. She just wants that old phone to work better. Like, she just wants it to be better. She doesn't want to get the new phone. She wants the new phone, then when she eventually finally gets it, when it really doesn't work, it, I mean, it won't work anymore. She's like, yeah, I got to go get a phone. Yeah, I figured. She wants that old phone, or the new phone, to look exactly like her old phone. She just wants to pick it up. She wants all the good properties of that new phone with her old phone, right? You guys get her, right? Understand this. This is logical thinking. I get it. I tell you this story about Pastor Tosh to introduce the sermon today. Because this is us spiritually sometimes. If you think about it, we start a new relationship with Jesus. And then we want to partake of all the wonderful benefits of that relationship. only to want to live like we did before. The old life, the old thinking, the old attitudes, the old way of doing things. We want the benefits of this new life without letting go of the old one. Two worlds. Yeah, I'm getting some yas and head shakes. Today we're going to read a passage of scripture from Luke 5, 33. We're not going backwards. I love it when I do stuff like that. That's all me. 33 to 39. Not 20. Do you guys want to read it backwards just for fun? Just like that? We'll do that maybe later if we have time. Okay, so what's happening in this passage, 33 to 39? Jesus is addressing the religious leaders, and they're trying to keep those people, the religious leaders, are trying to keep the old, but integrate maybe a little bit of the new. What are you teaching, Jesus? Maybe we can integrate a little bit of that into our stuff, into our thinking, into our religion, into our lives. But Jesus tells them, look, in this scripture, he tells them, you can't do that. He says to them, you can't just add a little bit of me to your life. You can't just patch a little of me onto your old life. You can't just pour a little of me into an old container. You'll get to my analogies here in a minute because Jesus is going to say them. What Jesus is telling them and what he wants to tell us today is that he came to this world not to update the old, but to do something brand new. So it's out with the old today. You with me, church? Yep. All right. So Luke 5, let me find my right ribbon here, 33 to 39 says this. This is Jesus speaking. 33 to 39, 5, 33 to 39. Okay. They said to him, they being the Pharisees, the religious leaders, they're talking to Jesus. They're posing this question. And before we get into it, they're going to ask about John, and we're talking about John the Baptist, okay? Good old JTB, as I call him. So they said to him, John's disciples often fast and pray, and so do the disciples of the Pharisees, but yours go on eating and drinking. Jesus answered, can you make the guests of the bridegroom fast while he is with them? But the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them. In those days, they will fast. He told them then this parable. No one tears a patch from a new garment and sews it on an old one. If he does, he will have torn the new garment, and the patch from the new will not match the old. And no one pours new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the new wine will burst the skins. The wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. No. New wine must be poured into new wineskins. And no one, after drinking old wine, wants the new, for he says, the old is better. Let's break this down. Let's talk about the fasting first, because that's where Jesus gets started. That's what kicks off this whole entire dialogue. The Pharisees and the religious leaders are like, hey, other people are fasting and your disciples aren't. You know, they're always picking on him. Fasting, just to let you know what's going on, in Jesus' time, was associated with sorrow or anticipation of the Messiah, anticipating Jesus coming. It was a sign of distress, repentance, or longing. The Pharisees would have practiced fasting as a sign of devotion to God. It was something they did as part of their religious ritual. Jesus explains that fasting isn't needed right now by him, by his disciples, or by anyone, because there's nothing to mourn, because Jesus is right here. He's like, I'm right here. There's nothing to mourn right now. This was a new way of thinking. He's starting to poke at the old ritual ways of doing things in worship. This was a change of their mindset from their old thinking to the new. The old way of thinking was duty and doing what you needed to stay right with God. And fasting was one of those things that you did to stay right with God, with the old. The new way was relationship, being present with Jesus, enjoying his time with them, and enjoying his teaching and his life. The fasting would eventually come when the morning happened. We know all about that. We celebrated about a month ago. But that was not now. This does not mean that fasting was wrong or that Jesus is saying fasting is wrong, but what he's saying, it's out of place, that it's an old way of thinking, an old practice, when Jesus is right there with them, right among them, right then and right there. He used this practice of fasting to show that an old legalistic practice needed to be replaced by something new, a new way, his way, grace, the way of grace and love and mercy. He then goes, after this talk about, they poked the bear, they poked the hive, if they will, if you will, with the whole fasting thing, and then Jesus is like, okay, I'm going to tell you how it is. He gives a couple of examples, doesn't he, of real life things that they, real life illustrations that they would understand to give this example of the old should go and the new is here and should be accepted. He talks about in verse 36 about a patch, right? No one tears a patch from a new garment and sews it on an old one. If he does, he will have torn the new garment, and the patch from the old or from the new will not match the old. Now, I'm not a seamstress. In fact, I can barely put a button back on a shirt. That would, yeah, I think I could, maybe. But I can understand this concept, and I know you can too. If I have an old pair of jeans with a hole, I'm not going to go to my new pair of jeans to get the material to patch my old jeans. Those Jordache jeans from the 80s, my parents would have been like, what did you do? This makes no sense, right? On a couple of levels. I've ruined my new jeans, haven't I? I got a hole now in my brand new jeans. The old material and the new material won't match. So I'm going to look ridiculous going to school in Jordache jeans like that. That's going to be ridiculous. And then the old material and the new material, you can't patch new material onto old material because the new material is tight and it's unshrunk and it's strong. The old material is stretched and worn. So then if you patch the new onto the old, imagine in your head you're like stitching it on, the new is going to pull away from the old. The old is fragile. It's just going to like disintegrate. It's not going to even catch probably as you go to sew it on. So you've made the hole even worse in your old stuff trying to patch the new on. Does that make sense to you? Yeah. Jesus is saying it's just not going to work. You can't patch the new with some old. You can't mix them. The two fabrics aren't going to mix. The point that he's making here is he didn't come to patch up old religion. He wasn't telling the Pharisees to patch up things that didn't make sense with the old law and old religion with him, and everything would be hunky-dory fine. He's not telling them to patch things up. He was totally new. We, like the Pharisees in our own lives, may try to just add a little Jesus, patch him in on places, like our old habits, our old mindsets, and our old priorities. But it's just not going to work. You can't patch up old stuff with new things. And in our spiritual life, it's the same thing. That's what Jesus is talking about here. You can't mix. He yearns, Jesus yearns to be the transformation, not transportation. He wants to be the transformation in your life, church, not the patch. Then he goes on to talk about wineskins in verse 37 and 38. He says, no one pours new wine into an old wineskin. If he does, the new wine will burst the skins, the wine will run out, and the wineskin will be ruined. No, new wine must be poured into new wineskins. So here's his second example. He talks about the patch, and then he says, let's talk about wineskins for a minute. Now, wineskins were animal skins that were used to store, you guessed it, wine. Wine, right? You would put new wine in a new wineskin. And as the wine fermented, the wineskin would stretch, it would give. Old wineskins were already stretched out and they were brittle. There's kind of a picture a little bit here of two wineskins. So you would put, if you put the new into the old, it's going to burst because it doesn't have flexibility to handle the stretch of the fermenting wine. It doesn't have the flexibility to handle the stretch like my hamstring. Okay, anyway. The analogy Jesus is using here is you don't put new wine, or that you do put new wine in new wineskins, not new wine in old wineskins. It's just not going to work. Do you see the similarity here? Same thing he's trying to teach here using the wineskin. He's making a serious statement. This is an extremely serious statement. He represents the new, right? He's the new wine in this analogy. Yes. New way of living. New way of loving God and others. The old wineskin represents the old law, the old system, the rigid way of thinking, the old religious structures. The problem here isn't the wine at all, right? It's about the container. We want Jesus to move into our lives and become new, but we don't want to change anything. We want him to work within the parameters of what we already have established, like our old life, like, you know, our schedules, our thinking, our comfort zones, all of our control, all that stuff. Jesus wants us to empty ourselves of that stuff. He wants us to be new, a new container filled up with something new, getting rid of the old. Because it's not going to work, Jesus is saying. It's not going to work. And then in verse 39, he talks about the struggle here, and he kind of gets to the point a little bit. No one after drinking old wine, he's basically telling, he's talking to them and saying, no one here after drinking the old wine wants the new, for they say, the old is better. He's saying here, I'm trying to give you new wine. I'm trying to give you something new. And all you say is, the old is better. The people that Jesus was talking to, the religious leaders, they had tasted the old wine for a long time, hadn't they? The old law was familiar, it was predictable, it was structured. For Pete's sake, it was what they had been doing for 2,000 years. It's been 2,000 years since Abraham was on the scene and God set aside Abraham to lead a new nation. That's a long time. 2,000 years is a long time, right? That they've been doing the same thing over and over again. That they've passed down this way of worship and how to be right with God. They had thousands of years of do this, obey these laws. When you mess up, you sacrifice this. God will be happy with you again, and then you rinse and repeat. That was the cycle, in a nutshell. Then Jesus comes along here, and he's offering something brand new. Grace, relationship, transformation, acceptance, love, equality. And their minds were blown. I know their minds had to have been blown. They're trying to figure this out. And instead of saying, oh, great, that's amazing. This is what we've been waiting for. This is totally way better. What a breath of fresh air. I love this for us. They said, thanks. We like the old better. It didn't feel safe, and they rejected the new way. The religious leaders thought they were doing right. I get it. They thought they were doing right by holding on to the old ways, defending their truth and their religion and their traditions. They were deeply committed, but they were also super resistant to the acceptance of the new. Has anyone in this room ever thought or said this to yourself, well, this is how I was raised? Oh my, I was not expecting that reaction, but okay. This is how I've always done this. This is how we've always done this. This is what feels right. I have too, sure, of course. But it's in those moments when we say those things that we have to ask ourselves, am I really being faithful to God, or am I just being stagnant in my spiritual life? Am I really doing what God wants me to here, or am I not inviting in the new that he offers me? Do I like just hanging out with the old? The old way is okay. The old way is better. It's fine. Jesus is simply, through this parable, he's revealing a truth to them, that people, we get used to the old. And sometimes we tend to prefer it. That's what he says here. Eh, the old is better. Eh, I'll stick to what I know. Even though I know it doesn't work right, I'm going to hold on to it anyway. The point of the sermon is today is that you can't hold on to both. You can't hold on to the new in Jesus and the old of your old self. It won't work. Jesus explains it to us in this parable as he explains the patch and he explains the wineskin. The people that Jesus is speaking to are trying to figure out how they can take this new guy and piece it into what they already know. And Jesus is saying, that's not what I came here for. I didn't come for that. He came to shift law to grace, ritual to relationship, external behavior and all those things they were doing right in front of other people to internal transformation. Church, Jesus didn't come to make your old life better. He came to give you a new one. We can try to live in both worlds. We can sure try. But it's not going to work. In fact, they're going to destroy each other, I think. When I look at this in the example of the old wineskins, you see how the old wineskin gets busted? It's no longer good for anything. And guess what happens to that new wine? It's running all over the floor, right? Two things are just completely ruined because they're trying to mix and match. We're called, church, to live more than a hybrid life. Jesus is telling us today that he wants to give us all a new life in him, to let go of the old and to bring in the new that he offers and provides us. So, good news for you today is the message isn't about learning anything new, but instead, it's about letting go of something old. Whatever that is. Just like our cell phones, we can get all the upgrades we want, but at some point, we need a new phone. We need new. Jesus didn't come to upgrade our spiritual life. He came to give us a new one. So right now, as we're here in this sanctuary, thinking about this message, the scriptures, the examples that Jesus gives us, I really want us to think about honestly to ourselves. You don't have to shout anything out. You're welcome. What's the old thing that I'm holding on to in my spiritual life? What's the old thing that I'm holding on to that I'm trying to patch Jesus into and it's not working? Name it. Think of it in your head. You may not think of it right now, but think of it later down the road this week as you think about this. Name it. Call it into being. Call it out. Say what it is. Tell somebody else maybe what it is. That really holds you accountable. What's the old thing that I'm holding on to in my life? And then ask Jesus to help you let go of that old thing. And then step in to the new that he is for you. He is the new. Out with the old, church, and in with the new. Let's pray. God, thank you for this message today, for this time to come and worship together, to sing, to pray, to hear your word, and soon, God, enter into our Holy Communion. God, I just ask that today you help us determine what is it in our life that we need to let go of, that we need to completely exterminate from our life and put you right in the middle of it. It's so hard to do, God. This is not an easy task that you've asked us to do. So we come to you for the strength and the ability to be able to do that. Help reveal things, one thing, many things, whatever it is in our lives, and take those steps, appropriate steps, to be able to get rid of those things and to follow you fully, 100% holy. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for loving us through it all. Thank you for loving us when we try to mix and match old and new in our lives. We appreciate and we love your grace and mercy and unconditional love that you have towards us. We know it, we feel it, and help us to live in that, in the new that you have for us, in whatever area of our life that is. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.